Spyro's humor also reached into his regular editorial comment, not considered at all humorous by some. But Spyro had many methods of getting his point across. An example is this editorial, which Spyro delivered while bitterly embroiled in a battle to defeat the proposed county charter.
Now, children, you get that charter brochure that came in the mail today. And WRKL and Uncle Fiorello, we're going to do a commentary on the funnies. Now, do you have that charter brochure? Oh-ho, you threw yours in the wastebasket. Don't do that. That cost $5,000. Now, let's see. We turn to page, the inside page. It says, I hope you have it spread in front of you. County government, how important. And we have the faces, the pictures of some of the finest men who were ever in political government in the United States. Oh, and they are giving their opinion of how important county government is. But wait. There are only four men there. How come they didn't include a picture of one of the ladies from the League of Women Voters? They take fine photographs, and you know, they're in favor of county government. Of course, they're not in favor of this charter, but it doesn't say that there, does it? Well, just a slight oversight, children. And now let's go to page, I guess it's three. And what do we find there? It says, in a very real sense, this is your charter. You were responsible for its coming into being when you authorized your county officials to study Rockland's needs and to write for Rockland a charter best suited to the unique complexities of government and administration which apply to your county. Well, you don't remember doing that, do you? I guess we haven't been able to find very many people who authorized county officials to study Rockland's needs. Then we go down a few paragraphs and it says, this is a charter prepared at your request, for you, children, by Rockland residents selected by you. Oh, you don't remember selecting anybody to do the charter for you. Well, I guess they didn't get anybody from Rockland County who knew the true story to prepare this, did they? Or he would have known it was the Board of Supervisors who picked the Charter Commission, not you, the voter. Now, what do you think Dick Tracy would have done in a case like this, children? Or Little Orphan Annie? Now, Sandy might have said ARF. But that wouldn't have meant very much, would it? All right, let's turn to page four. Will the charter change my town or village? And it says here, no, not in local affairs. The charter reads, all powers, functions, duties, rights, and privileges heretofore had, exercised and discharged by all towns and villages, shall remain unimpaired by this charter. Well, what do you know? They left out a part of the charter. Because in the copy that I have, it says, except as expressly provided otherwise by this charter or other applicable law. Glorioski!
And Daddy Warbucks, as Spyro called the pro-charter group, made out the way Spyro had hoped. The charter was defeated. But some of Spyro's causes didn't work out quite the way he wanted. There's now a swimming pool on the Huntington estate where Spyro fought for retention of the estate itself. One of his many Save the Something or Other campaigns.
This is Al Spyro, manager of WRKL. During this past month, Rocklanders were aroused over the threatened destruction of the Huntington estate. Thousands went to see the buildings. Hundreds telegraphed the governor to stop the demolition. The Huntington estate has been given a stay of execution, and county residents are being given a chance to discuss the buildings with the Palisades Estate Park Commission at a hearing on Tuesday, February 1st at 10 a.m., at the county office building. The stopping of demolition was just the first part of the job of saving the Huntington estate. The second part is for the county to appear en masse at the hearing. If the appearance at the hearing is left to a small handful of people, there is a strong possibility that the buildings might not be saved. Everyone who was interested in the Huntington estate must get to that meeting on Tuesday to show the Palisades Interstate Park Commission that the county is truly interested in saving and using the buildings. I urge you all to attend. Put aside some of your other business if you have to. There will be only one chance to save the buildings, and that's this Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the county office building in New City. The hearing will go on for a good part of the day, and if you can't make it at 10, show up there sometime during the hearing. That's Tuesday, February 1st at the county office building in New City.
This is WRKL station manager Al Spyro with a WRKL editorial.
Rockland County is faced with an extremely serious situation because the New York State Department of Health wants to close the Pearl River General Hospital. The Pearl River Hospital has only 31 beds, but only 31 beds are supplying Rockland County with 8,400 bed patient days per year. The State Health Department wants to eliminate the tremendous service the 8,400 bed patient days per year is rendering to Rockland County and to North Bergen. While patients must, at times, use the hallways of Good Samaritan and Nyack Hospital as hospital rooms. The entire medical community of the county the William Donovan of the State Department of Health has said that if the community can show the need for the hospital, it will stay open. WRKL urges you to write a letter to Dr. William Donovan, State Department of Health, 99 Church Street, White Plains, New York. We also urge you to communicate with Governor Rockefeller by letter or telegram. If you send a telegram, Western Union will give you a special low rate for a public service message. Once again, address letters to Dr. William Donovan, New York State Department of Health, 99 Church Street, White Plains, but send the letters to Pearl River General Hospital, Pearl River, New York. The hospital bed you save may be the one you or your family may need someday.
Occasionally, on the hotline, Spiro would set himself up as judge and jury in an effort to expose someone he felt was trying to put one over on the general public or on Spiro himself. Such was the case with a man named Joseph Pantano, who, on the hotline, threatened to sue Spiro at one point and called up several weeks later, or allegedly called up, as you'll hear in this exchange. Supervisor John McAlevey, a guest on the program, can be heard in portions of this excerpt.
Well, I was just wondering, because I have asked the question once before in private of somebody else, and I got a different answer.
I wonder if I can ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you ready to show me your books on the money you collected for the boys in Vietnam? Are you ready to show me your books on the monies you collected for the boys in Vietnam?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mr. Pantano, don't lie to me. Are you ready to show me the books of the monies you collected for the boys in Vietnam?
What you're talking about?
You don't?
No, I don't.
Well, you didn't the last time I asked you.
Well, you really don't. I don't think you know what you're talking about.
You're not...
not the person you're referring to.
Really?
Oh, I...
Come on.
Don't be coy now.
You know, don't make jokes with us.
I think Mr. McAlevey and yourself, Mr. Spiro, is making the jokes. Because Mr. McAlevey...
Your voice is very distinctive, sir.
Excuse me?
Your voice is very distinctive to those who have heard it before.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
The answer... No, fine. Let me ask you a question. Let me pursue that. You know nothing about any books or any collections of money for the boys in Vietnam, is that correct?
Not that I know of, no.
You know nothing about this?
No. And I,
I'll tell you what. I think what I will do is to give tape of what we just
put
made.
Put a voice tape out, huh?
I think I'll take the tape of what we just made and some previous tapes that I've made, and I think I'll bring them to some authorities. And let them see if it's the same, and let's see what the story is.
Good. Okay, fine.
Been charming talking to you. I said it's been charming talking to you.
Sure it has, but I think you're mistaken.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll find out if we're mistaken or not. Bye.
Spiro was always quick to jump in and help others where he could. His efforts extended from prodding welfare officials to help one needy family to aiding such organizations as Camp Juanio. And he often commented on the efforts of others.
2 9-year-old girls, Kathy Starkey and Dorothy Carter, have set up a little refreshment stand on Route 306 near Viola Road, just south of Viola Road. And they're selling goodies, baked goods, and liquid refreshments, nothing strong, of course, for the Camp Juanio Fund. So if you're driving down 306, drop in, enjoy some of their refreshments, and remember, it's all going for the Camp Juanio Fund. So far, they've made $30, and we hope they can do much more with your help.
That afternoon, Spiro loaded some staff members and Ramapo Supervisor John McAlevey into a car and bought lunch for everyone at the stand. Spiro's interests and efforts also led him to take care of all little children in his own way, and his special versatility enabled him to carry on intelligent conversations with such notables as Santa Claus, an annual guest on the hotline.
Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Well, Santa Claus isn't waiting till tonight. Santa Claus is here now.
Right now?
I am pretty sure. Yeah, we do.
Oh, hello there.
Hello, Santa Claus.
Of course, Spyro was liable to play Jingle Bells in the middle of July. That was Al's way of saying, why not listen to Jingle Bells in July if you want to? Who says you have to wait for Christmas?